Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, September 25th, 2018. With me today from the MacCast, I have Adam Christensen. How are you, Adam?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's great to have you here. Brian Chaffin, how are you?
Wishing I had water, because you see, the bagel I mentioned was a jalapeno and cheddar bagel, and now my mouth is on fire and I have nothing to drink.
And you see, the problem, Brian, is you failed to plan ahead.
Yes, this is correct.
Yeah, that's right. Unfortunate.
On multiple fronts in this particular case.
All right.
So it's good to be here. Thanks for having us.
It's great to have you here. So listeners, if there's some point in the show where it becomes this extended monologue or it's just Adam and me talking for what seems like an inappropriately long time,
they will all thank you.
Brian ran away to get a drink.
Yeah, and everyone will appreciate it.
And everyone will appreciate it now. We'll all be in on the little secret, which I guess means it won't really be a little secret. Anyhow, our sponsor today, Jamf Now, which is awesome. We'll talk about them soon. What I want to start with is the new iPhones. So iPhone XS and XS Max are out. They came out on Friday. And both of you have the new iPhone, and so I wanted to get your first impressions on Apple's latest and greatest.
First, do we have one of each, or I don't know which one Brian got. I have a XS.
I got the XS too.
Okay.
So nobody and you may has ask yourself, how is this XS new?
And you may ask yourself, how did I get here?
Exactly.
This is not my beautiful wife.
And the answer is same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
For both cases.
Wait. Yeah. Well played, Adam. All right. So Adam, tell me, what do you think?
It's the same. More of the same, but better, I guess, is probably the way to put it. Yeah, I was really on the I think we talked about this probably yesterday. I was really on the fence on whether I was going to get it or not, and ultimately decided to pull the trigger because of the processor, neural engine, and photo stuff. So I don't know where you want me to start, because I have kind of I'm of two minds about this. And the first mind is that coming from an iPhone X, and having it now for a few days, there is about zero differences in my overall experience.
Okay,
day to day.
So does that mean you're not finding any standout feature that really distinguishes the XS from the X?
No, there is one standout feature.
Okay.
And that is the camera. Believe it or not, and I was shocked by that, surprised by that, because there's technologically not much difference, although I have kind of discovered more since. There is, I guess, kind of a new, well, there's a new white, slightly wider angle lens. I believe it's 26 millimeters versus 28.
Okay.
On the wide angle. So you get a little bit more field. That doesn't matter as much. What really is making the difference, I think, is the larger sensor that's in there. So there's a larger sensor that captures 50% more light, Apple says. And, you know, I'm not a photographer person. I'm not into this stuff, like the sensor sizes, you know, how many micrometers or nanometers or whatever it has in it. And somebody can look up the numbers if they want, or even the lens thing, like the 26, 28, you tell me that. I don't really know what that means, other than someone explained, oh, you get more image. If you took the same image with a 10 and a 10S, you're going to see more of the frame. Okay, great. That's fine too. Mm-hmm. But what happened was I was taking some pictures and my daughter looks at it. She's like, why is your camera so much better? Meaning the 10S camera over my 10.
Okay, and so if someone just notices that,
right,
that quickly, that's significant to me.
Correct. And I think it's the sharpness and the detail. I also think it has something to do, I need to do a lot more testing, but I think it has something to do with the new smart HDR stuff. So those inner frames that they're doing, you know, that stuff they talked about in the keynote that,
yes,
again, I didn't understand at all. To me, what it translates to for the average person, you know, somebody just looking at the picture is, oh my gosh, that picture is so much better. I don't know why, but something about it makes it look better. And so I think that's where the big difference is.
Yeah. So,
and I'm noticing that immediately, just, you know, random snapshots appear sharper. They appear sort of, you know, I think brighter, especially in low light situations. Like, you can see more detail. There's more stuff going on. And I think that's translating into, oh, those pictures are better.
Yeah. Now, for listeners that don't know what Adam's talking about, the way the camera works for HDR, which means high dynamic range, on the XS and XS Max, it's doing a burst of 10 photos in succession, and it's doing like different exposure settings and stuff. And then it uses its built-in software, and it takes essentially what amounts to the best parts from each image and composites them together into a single photo. So you don't have areas, hopefully, that are blown out and too white, and areas that are muddy and too dark.
Yeah.
And so it more closely resembles what your eye can see.
If you really want to see this, there's a dramatic picture over on Daring Fireball. John Gruber posted where his wife just at the mall took a shot, and he was backlit with the 10 and with the 10S from the same position. Just, you know, push the button, hold the camera up, push the button. And the difference is amazing. The first one is completely blown out by the backlight, and the second one, you wouldn't even know that there was backlight.
Yeah, that's in John's iPhone XS review. I'll put a link to that in the show notes.
And I need to do some of my own testing. But yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing where it's like, oh my gosh, okay, this is where it is going to make a difference in just daily shooting photos. And again, it's something that I generally don't want to think about, but it's great to know that when I'm taking snapshots, just in general, without me having to do any, you know, open up, you know, Camera Plus or some other app where I can control that stuff, it's going to manage it for me. And that makes a big difference for me just in daily usage, because that means there's going to be less photos that I'm just going to trash or throw away and go, wow, that was just bad. I shouldn't have taken that shot.
Yeah. So Brian, you've been surprisingly quiet through this part, because I know you have opinions, but I'm going to ask you to be quiet for just a moment longer, and I'll talk about our sponsor, and then I'll get your perspective. So we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Jamf Now. And if you're not familiar with them, that means you haven't been paying attention, people. Listen when I talk. Jamf Now is a service that you can use to keep track of your iOS and macOS devices. So it's sort of like your own personal mobile device management system, but without the steep learning curve that you would otherwise have to go through, because all you have to do is sign up for a free account. You add devices in, it's real easy to do, and then you're in business and you're managing your devices. You're keeping track of serial numbers, you're keeping track of operating systems, you're keeping track of settings, apps. You can even install your own custom apps, and it's just cool. It's easy to use. It's great if you have a family and you want to keep track of all your devices, or if you have a business and you need to keep track of all the devices in your business. And it's crazy affordable. It's free to sign up, and you get 3 devices for free forever. So not like you have a time-limited offer there. After that, it's only $2 per device per month. So you don't have to worry about breaking your bank by adding in several more devices. So it's easy to use, it's inexpensive, and it's great. And I love using it to keep track of my devices. And I would love for all of you to do the same. So here's what you have to do. Head over to the Jamf Now website. That's jamf.com, jamf.com/TDO. Jamf.com/TDO. Sign up for your free account. Add in 3 devices for free. You'll never have to pay for those. And only $2 per device per month after that. So thank you, Jamf Now, for being our sponsor today. Okay, Brian, I'm curious what you're thinking about the new iPhones.
So the reason why I was quiet is because the one thing I haven't spent any time with is the camera. So I didn't have anything to add. I was just listening avidly. But I would also say that this device is noticeably faster than the 10, boots up faster, shuts down faster. Mm-hmm. Face ID is faster. You disagree with that, Adam?
No, actually, I would probably generally agree with that. I haven't been, mine got passed down to my wife, so I haven't been doing a lot of side tests, but I wouldn't dispute what you're saying.
I have not placed them side by side with the timer, but I'm very confident in those general observations. So I think
you're right on the shutdown. I was more humming the shutdown because I think it does shut down and reboot pretty quickly.
Shuts down way faster. It reboots faster for sure. But shutdown on iPhone has always been.
Right. You get the spinny wheel.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes a while. Now, I don't know how much of that, though, is iOS 12.
Right.
I didn't shut down my iPhone 10 once I upgraded to iOS 12 a whole lot. Do you have any thoughts on that, Jeff?
I do on Face ID. Face ID just generally got better with iOS 12, even on my iPhone 10. Because I was a big not fan of Face ID. I had a lot of problems with it until iOS 12. It got about, I would think, at least 50-60% better for me.
I'll agree. Face ID is a lot better in iOS 12. And as far as boot up and shutdown times, I did notice a marked improvement going from iOS 11 to iOS 12, even in the betas.
So that, yes. Yeah, so some of that could be, I will have to do some side by side comparisons on that. Everything is snappier on this device, but like, you know, I said in the middle of Apple's keynote that this was a solid nuts and bolt, solid nuts and bolts update. I stand by that. Everything's at least a little bit better, sometimes a lot better. But if you have an iPhone 10, do not be jealous.
Right.
You have a great phone. And probably if you have an iPhone 8, unless you're really wanting the Face ID and the lack of a home button, unless you're jonesing for that, the iPhone 8's a great phone too. So, you know, anything older than that, it's going to be a very, very interesting upgrade. I, for instance, love the lack of the home button. We've talked about that before. But by and large, I stand by my original assessment that it is in no way a must-have upgrade from an iPhone 10. Probably not for an iPhone 8, but that's up to you. Depends on your budget. And from there, the older you get, the more blown away you'll be.
Yeah. The only exception, I think, is if you went to a 10 from a plus size phone and you've been generally unhappy with the smaller size and you want to go back up to get a 10S Max. Right.
Mm, yep.
Okay. So if screen size is what you're all about, you know, the 10S Max might be a worthy upgrade. And I've heard from a lot of people who've done that and they've been super thrilled because the screen on the 10S Max is massive. Massive, massive, massive.
I went and played with both in the Boulder Apple Store the other day. And well, my first thought was, holy crap, the screen is so much better than my iPhone 10. And then I cleaned off my screen and realized, no, actually, it's
the same. I don't think the screen has changed, right? From a technical perspective.
It just showed how dirty mine was.
Right, yeah.
But the 10S Max, I mean, it just felt like this massive thing. And I was looking at it and thinking, yeah, I get why even though I love the iPad mini, why Apple's not updating it anymore. Because even though the screen is physically smaller than an iPad mini, it's getting so close that it makes the iPad mini for screen size almost irrelevant now.
Yeah, it's a different use case.
I totally agree. It's a different use case. And it breaks my heart that Apple's not updating the iPad mini.
And well, we still have an iPad event coming.
It doesn't break my heart. It just baffles me.
It breaks my heart. I love the mini.
I think that pulling down control center, doing application switching. I think all of these things are just snappier, noticeably snappier for me on the iPhone XS. But again, certainly not a reason to upgrade from the 10.
Yeah. Well, again, I'll argue too. I think a lot of that is iOS 12. I think there's a big factor in there.
I hear you there, but I would say I didn't notice that running iOS 12 on my iPhone 10 for a week, and I immediately noticed it when I got my 10S.
Okay, that's kind of telling.
But I haven't sat with stopwatches or an Apple Watch.
Well, the stopwatch thing, the timing thing to me is not as critical as the perception. So if it's only a fraction faster, but it feels like it's markedly faster, excuse me, that's what really matters.
Yep.
And actually that's why when I had the opportunity to compare benchmarks between iOS 11 and iOS 12, I didn't, because the numbers are just numbers. It's how it really feels and how you perceive it. So if you perceived it as faster, that's a big thing.
So I've had people express to me the idea that, my phone's obsolete, which is a sentiment that I categorically disagree with. If your phone still works and still does what it did, it's not obsolete. I mean, that's kind of like, that's not a thing. So, I do want to emphasize that anyone who's sitting there with an iPhone 10,
like me,
should feel no device envy.
Right.
Maybe if photographs are super important for you, everything that Adam was just saying about the camera, all that stuff is important, but it's not like the iPhone 10 camera is
bad.
Right? Is bad. I mean, it's actually
in any way.
It's a great device. I saw some photographs this weekend taken with an iPhone 10 that were just amazing photographs, just like the kind of thing that you would have had needed a very, very solid DSLR or SLR camera to do just not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, iPhone XS, I'm loving it. To everyone who's wondering why I got it, it's because I am on the yearly upgrade with AT&T.
And that's the other thing is, like, if you're on the yearly upgrade, then again, there's no reason not to. I mean, that's why you're on that program, right? So you upgrade. And that's the whole point of being on that program.
It is. What one could argue that you could go ahead and keep using your phone for a year, and then you're going to own it outright at the end of that time. And then you can, sell it. If you can get the new one, get the new one. You'll love it. It's just don't let it, don't have device envy for that if you're on a 10, or probably not even if you're on an 8.
1000% agree with that sentiment.
Yeah. When I realized that I was stuck in a place where my upgrade cycle was way off track, I had a little bit of time where I was really disappointed because I wasn't.
Did you follow up? I told you they gave Adam, you misinformation, man.
No, they didn't. And Adam figured it out because I had been allowed to upgrade to a 6S and then to a 7 without having to pay the difference. They tacked it on now.
They tack it on to the end. They let you upgrade early, 2 months early, but what they're really doing is they're taking those 2 months and tacking it on to the end of the new contract. And then they did it again, so now you're 4 months out.
In the immortal words of Corporal LeBeau, fascists.
No such thing as a free lunch, people.
Nope, especially when you're dealing with cell carriers.
And I only knew that because I had a number of people ask me, last year they gave me clemency. They gave me a leeway. Do you think they'll do that again this year? And I said, I'm not hearing that they are. And I didn't think about it till Jeff brought it up. And I'm like, I'm wondering if they tacked those 2 months onto the end of the new contract.
Yeah.
Instead of 24, you were at 26 months.
Yeah, they tacked on two upgrades. So my phone isn't eligible until I think it's April, the end of April, which is crazy.
Wow.
So at that point,
they're getting their payments.
Yeah, they're getting their payments. So at that point, it's like,
just wait for the iPhone 11 or.
Yeah. And then I'll have an iPhone 10 that I don't have to trade in. And I'll either keep it as a spare or do it as a hand-me-down. So, yeah, so I was really bummed initially, and now I'm okay with keeping my iPhone 10 because it's still an amazing camera. And one of the things that I really wanted to be able to play with was the adjustable depth of field.
Yeah.
But I own Focus. I downloaded that app. So I can do it on my iPhone 10. I just have to do it in a separate app.
Can I say one little cool thing about that I didn't realize too? If you're using iCloud Photo Library, and I'm kind of throwing this out because I also want to figure out if there's a way to do this by moving photos around manually. But if you take those shots on your iPhone and you have an iPad running iOS 12 or any other device running iOS 12 and iCloud Photo Library, when you pull up your library on that app, even though it's not an iPhone XS, you can actually still adjust the depth of field on older devices that it syncs to. And now with Mojave, you can also do it in Photos in macOS Mojave.
I am going to have to try that. That's very cool.
You need to have a shot that was taken on an iPhone XS and then transferred. The only way I can get it working right now is if it goes through iCloud Photo Library. So I don't know that you would be able to do it, Jeff, because you don't have a device.
Send me a photo.
There's no way to. That's my point. Is there's no way to?
Oh,
I cannot send you. I haven't figured it out. If there is a way, I would like to know. And if maybe somebody in the audience has figured it out, they can let you know, Jeff, and then you can.
And
let
then
me
we'll
know.
Write a tip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
I can't figure out how to transfer it. I tried airdropping it to another device. It did not work. It still converts it from the HEIF, I think, to
a JPEG.
To a JPEG, and then it loses that ability. Yeah. So.
That makes sense.
Can I get in one last note too?
Sure.
Time. So you both know that I'm kind of a jerk, right?
You are the sweetest cuddly teddy bear.
Yeah.
Ever.
Okay. Well,
in your own mind, maybe you are, but go ahead.
Just remember that, because I do want to point out that while we're sitting here saying, please don't have, there's no point in having any device envy on the iPhone XS. You absolutely should have device envy on the Apple Watch Series 4. And Adam should, in fact, have already rushed out and gotten one.
Oh, now I know what you mean by jerk. Okay, got it.
Yep.
Adam, I will say that I am so happy that I have an Apple Watch Series 4, and this is coming from a Series 3. You having a 2 going to a 4.
I know, it's ancient.
It's not ancient, it's just that you get so much more.
The 4 is just so much better. It is. The Apple Watch Series 2 is a great device. And if someone is out there and they're wanting to get into an Apple Watch and they can't afford a Series 4, and maybe they can't afford a Series 3. The Series 2 is not going to disappoint you. But
no, it's still a really good watch. It is not obsolete.
If you can get the Series 4, I am still blown away by mine. And it's interesting that
I opened an app yesterday. It's still trying to launch it. Oh, there it goes.
It's interesting that I have such marked feelings. Markedly different feelings about the Apple Watch Series 4 versus the iPhone XS, because the iPhone XS is an amazeballs device.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so is the iPhone 10. That's the difference. It's not that the iPhone XS is slacking or anything like that.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So thank you for making me feel better about having my iPhone 10, Brian. And Adam, sorry that Brian made you feel bad about your Apple Watch Series 2.
Yeah, kind of a jerk.
I'm going to go cry in my pillow now.
I understand. Hey, we're out of time, so we have to wrap up. Adam, thank you for being here today.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. I'll come over and give you a hug. Brian, thank you for being here as well.
You're welcome.
And
hey, thanks for having us, man.
It's been great having both of you on the show today. And thank you to Jamf Now for being our sponsor. Head over to their website, jamf.com, jamf.com/TDO. Sign up for your free account. 3 devices for free forever on that account. Only $2 per device per month after that. And listeners, I am so glad that you were here. Thank you for listening. We'll see you again tomorrow.